Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Nation. That would be the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT here at the grill, and Dr. Dave is over at the bar with the sliders on him today.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, we welcome all of our affiliates up and down the Radio Northwest Network. Have you ever been to Alaska? Dave, you ever been to Alaska?
I have been a couple of times.
Yeah, I've been there once.
Beautiful.
And albeit it was a long time ago, and I do have a few stories that we will not be talking about on the air.
Thank God.
Yes. But when I say the word armpit, what does that bring to your mind,
Smell?
David? Smell? Well, this is probably a good smell up there. In Alaska, the name armpit is part of a great barbecue outfit, Turnagain Armpit Barbecue. And today on the Nation, we welcome Jack Goodsell, the pit master and proprietor of Turnagain Armpit Barbecue. Jack, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks so much.
So I'm going to ask the obvious question. How'd you get the name?
Well, we are in a little village in Indian, Alaska. It's between halfway between Anchorage and Girdwood, which is a little ski town. And we are right on a body of water called the Turnagain Arm. So we went through the whole, you know, typically people go through that whole thing about what do you call yourself, and you take where you are and what you're doing. And most barbecue places are called shacks or joints or pits. And
right.
When I got to the Turnagain Arm pit, it made me laugh out loud, so I had to do it.
I like it.
Totally understandable.
It's catchy.
Mm-hmm. Sells a lot of T-shirts.
I bet you do sell a lot of T-shirts up there. And I thought you told me Alaska had calmed down a little bit over the years since I'd been there. I bet you those T-shirts sell like hotcakes.
Yeah, they do. I've gotten pictures from Europe with people wearing them.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. So you didn't start out in life focusing on being a pit master. You worked in a NICU for a long time. And give us a little background on that, if you will.
I worked as a respiratory therapist, and I started out working with adults and pediatrics, and then moved down to Florida, and I started working in the NICU down in St. Petersburg. Worked there for a few years, and then moved up to Anchorage and continued that, and ended up being about 30 years taking care of premature babies, and it was a lot of fun. I actually get to see some of those kids that I took care of that now come in as adults, and it was pretty fun. Anyhow, I retired a little bit early because I had a little more energy to do something else. Cooking has been a hobby and a passion, and so we opened a little shack. It was about 900 square feet, and I put a trailer with a smoker next to it and took it and made my hobby a job.
Yeah, that's the worst part about that whole thing, isn't it? When you make it a job. But I want to talk to you about the Florida thing. How did you go from Florida to Alaska? I mean, that's a pretty, not just a seasonal change, but a complete lifestyle change, I'm pretty sure.
Well, a friend of mine who is a respiratory therapist working in the NICU decided he needed a change, and I lived right on the beach, so I never used any vacation time, and he said he was going to drive from St. Petersburg to Anchorage and asked me if I'd like to join him, and I had the time, and I thought driving diagonally across the continent sounded like a good idea. So I came up here for a two-week vacation, and that was in 83, and I'm still here.
That's about the time I was up there. Yeah. I'm surprised our paths didn't cross, although we were several hundred miles apart, but you could probably see the little mushroom clouds from the Kenai Peninsula up there when I was there. So you started a shack, you got the 900 square foot unit, you got the smoker on it. Had you had any training at all up to that point?
Well, I had been playing. When you get up here, it's the most incredible fishing in the world, and you start catching so many fish, you have to start coming up with different ways and different things to do with them. So I, like many others, started smoking them. And then once I started that, I started playing with meats in the smoker. When I figured out that I was going to get into the barbecue world, I researched where I should go for education, and I found Mike Mills down in 17th Street in Murfreesboro in 2009, and I've been pretty much going back there. Last year was the first year I didn't go because we had issues with the restaurant that we started, had a little bit of a fire. Uh-oh. But anyway, I've been going down to 17th Street for 7 or 8 years now.
Just to give you an FYI, Amy Mills is going to be on the show next week here.
Will you tell her I said hello?
I will certainly do that. Mike is tied up at the Indiana State Fair or something and can't get away, but Amy's taking some time to be with us next week, so that's pretty cool.
That's great. I consider them very good friends.
Oh, they're great people. And they got that new book out, Praise the Lard.
Exactly.
And so we're going to be talking about the book, among other things, and we'll probably talk about you, too, behind your back or out on the public airwaves.
Well, they've trained people from all over the country, and I know for sure down under and over in Europe, they bring people from everywhere. Yeah, it's a pretty fun time down there at Murfreesboro.
It sounds like it. So back to you. I found one thing in interviewing a lot of people on this show, and of course, my background is with cooking and barbecue and all that, but people's life experiences tend to kind of guide their barbecue experiences. Have you found that to be so? I mean, your own thoughts, I know you learned a lot from Mike and Amy, and you probably learned a lot from other things going through life, even in the NICU, and you don't correlate those two together, but has that been your experience, that you kind of tweak and fuss with things until you get it right where, you know, right where Jack wants it?
That's what I find to be one of the most fun things to do. Yeah. You know, we started out making sauces and then just tweaking this and tweaking that. And, you know, I love it. And the winter is kind of nice for me up here because my restaurant and the on the arm is only open on weekends right now. So those other 4 or 5 days, I like to go into the restaurant by myself, and I love to tweak things.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. You're like the mad scientist in the lab with nobody else
pretty
around.
Much.
Yeah.
Yep.
So on your menus up there, Jack, I'm sure you've got the staples of brisket, pork, chicken, this type of thing. What actually do you serve?
Brisket, chicken, pork, and things, yeah.
Good for you. Good
yep.
for you.
And on one plate that we call the board tide, we serve all of those on one plate.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's cool. Your fish, you were talking about your fish in Alaska, and I went up to judge a horse show, but I ended up fishing for 2 days and caught nada.
It's a different kind of fishing.
Yeah. And, well, I was wanted to use DuPont spinners, but they wouldn't let me. but anyway, because there's so much fish, there's so much, you know, salmon and halibut, et cetera, up there. What's your favorite way of doing, just say, like, you know, smoking a salmon fillet?
Well, you know, that's one of the things I've been tweaking with a lot lately because, you know, like with all barbecue things, so much, you know, nobody's going to be there when you pull all your stuff out. And so holding the fish, salmon in particular, is a little challenging. So a lot of times I'll just hard smoke or hot smoke the fish and use that for an app. What I'm toying with now and what I hope to get down this fall and winter is lightly smoking and then finish on a grill. And so it's kind of difficult because, you know, fish are like all the other animals. They're very different critters, and some are small and some are big. I've sometimes, you know, hit it right on the mark, but I'm not consistent with it. So we're not really putting that on the menu so much. We do have halibut on the menu, but not so much smoke on those things.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back with Jack Goodsell from Turn Again Armpit Barbecue. It's just the name gets you, you know. Anyway, we'll be back with Jack in a couple minutes. Thanks for listening. Don't go away.
Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network. If you'd like to email us questions, recipes, you know, you win prizes if you send us good recipes here. It's barbecuenation@kxl.com. You can also look us up on Facebook, which is, David, you want to tell us?
Barbecue Nation. Facebook.com.
Yeah. Well, it's Barbecue Nation / with JT, I think, actually. Anyway, and we'd like to say hi to a couple of our affiliates, KVI News 570 in Seattle, KUFO 970 Freedom, and KXTG The Game 102.9 and 750. How's that? I got them all in.
Wow.
How about that? We are talking with Jack Goodsell from Turn Again Armpit Barbecue. Jack, what was the toughest thing you've had to learn to do in the barbecue world?
You know, when I first started, it's how to hold product properly. So you had it ready to go without killing it, you know, by holding it too hot or too long.
Sure.
And, you know, after struggling with that for a little bit, I called Mike and Amy, and they straightened me out pretty quick, but after a couple months.
What, were you just getting it too much right to the peak and then
I was
keeping
holding
it hot?
Too much too long,
Yeah. Well, that happens. I mean, that even happens at people's barbecues at home, you know.
Fortunately, that was like my first year, and after, a couple of months, I just happened to go down there, and they spent a lot of time with me. And yeah, it's pretty cool. They straightened me out pretty quick. I felt pretty dumb after they told me how simple it was.
What was the hardest skill for you as far as the actual technique, not the holding, but the technique? What was the hardest skill that you had to kind of get your head around?
You know, I can't even identify that. You know, other than that, it came to me pretty quick. You know, Mike and Amy bring great pit masters from around the country. And, of course, they don't tell you recipes, but they're great at telling you and teaching you technique, so... And that's why I continue to go back there. So I really didn't have too many other struggles other than that holding thing.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, when you, let me ask you these questions. And when you're seasoning, do you put a good fair amount of rub, like on your brisket? Or, you know, how are you seasoning your chicken and stuff? And the reason I ask that is because no matter who we talk to, it's all just a bit different. Some are extremely different, but... Most of the chefs and the pit masters and stuff we talk to, they don't vary much more than probably a 10-degree variance, but they all have their own little way of doing things.
Yeah, brisket and pork butt, I put the rubs on moderately heavy with those guys. With the chicken and ribs, that's pretty much light dusting.
Mm-hmm. And do you use any sauces, or are they served as sides?
I sauce nothing. I'll mop my ribs before they come out, but I put four sauces on the table because I don't know what people want or how much they want.
Sure.
Yeah, we sauce nothing.
There you go. He's a smart man here. You know that? He knows what he's doing.
More than you.
Hey. Hey. You've never seen me serve anything with a big glob of sauce on it. A little glaze once in a while, but especially on the ribs, or chicken legs. I like to glaze chicken legs because they make them pretty.
Yeah.
You know,
and tasty,
but I don't glob, you know, have a 5-gallon bucket of Sweet Baby Ray's on the side out there and, you know, dunking them in there. That kind of always pisses me off when I go to a restaurant and they say, oh, you get a rack of ribs and you, you know, you get a half a rack of short ribs or something, and they bring them out there, and they're just, like, slathered with sauce. You know, I know Jack would never do that. But
you know, most real barbecue people wouldn't do that. None of the guys that I've talked with down there really sauce anything heavy. In fact, most of them don't sauce anything. And that's kind of where I figured that out, because I used to play with a little bit of sauce when I was at home and doing it for myself and didn't know any better.
Sure.
But, yeah, most of the guys just do the sauce for the customer to take care of.
Well, and, you know, if you're at home and you're cooking for your wife and kids or your brother and sister or whatever, and you know they like sauce on stuff, that's completely legal as far as I'm concerned to sauce stuff at that point.
You know, it's funny, and I used to do that, but I don't do it anymore.
Don't you?
No, because my wife sometimes chooses another sauce than I do. And,
oh, yeah.
I still let it up to the individual to figure out what they want and how much they want.
My wife has what I call lily lips because anything above black pepper she thinks is hot, you know?
Yeah.
And so if you put a little chipotle or something, like a little ancho in there, and she'd go, man, that's kind of, it's got a little bite to it. And it's like, what are you talking about? That's like eating a Twinkie, you know? And
little bite is good.
Little bite is good. Yeah. Big bites, not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. You don't get too much of a burn from any of my sauces. I have a spicy, but most people who like spicy wouldn't consider that. It's just spicy, a little more spice than my original.
I got to tell you a little secret, Jack. I can never figure that out, why people like it so bloody hot. The rubs or the sauces or whatever, that it just, you're not tasting whatever it is you're eating.
No.
Yeah, we try to balance everything. We don't want too much heavy smoke. We don't want too much heavy anything. We, you know, it's, there should be a balance to all of it, and none of it stepping on the meat.
No, you don't want to do that. But I know some guys that, especially when I was in Texas, that they were, oh, man, you got to try this. You know, it's got 16 ghost peppers, 3 jalapenos, and Sergeant Pepper on it or something like that.
Wow.
You're like, you go ahead. I'm going to pass on that deal.
Anything that makes you catch your breath and start and start crying is not good.
Right.
Well, unless it's somebody you're looking at on the silver screen.
That's different. Not when you're eating.
Or if you're at a Hooters. That'll make you catch your breath and cry sometimes. But
yes.
Anyway. Sorry, Jack. We're getting off the track here. I didn't mean
No problem. Hooters never made it up here. They opened and closed in a pretty short time.
Did they?
They did.
You know what their job application is? They hand them a bronze. They fill this out.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah. That's. I couldn't help that. I told that to Ferretti today.
I like it. I'm going to have to use it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not rude. It's not anything else. It's just Hooters. You get the best customer service in the world at Hooters. You don't think so, David? Are you just, because your wife will listen to this show and you're not going to say anything. We're going to take a break before I get in big trouble here, and we're going to be back with Jack Goodsell from Turnagain Armpit Barbecue up in the Anchorage area, and we're going to ask some more tough questions. Not really. None of them are tough, but we might do some lightning round stuff with Jack. That'll be fun right after this. It's Bob Seger, and our guest today is Jack Goodsell here on Barbecue Nation. Again, if you want to check us out online, you can go to kxl.com/shows/barbecuenation-jt. Or you can just go to SoundCloud, type in Barbecue Nation, and you'll find us, and you can stream the shows there on any of the channels we are. And emails is barbecuenation@kxl.com. Or recipes, if you send us a recipe we use, we send you a little smoker box from our friends over at Smokehouse Products, little stainless steel unit.
Nice things.
Yeah, nice things. We send you nice things out of our prize closet.
And it is Barbecue Nation with JT on Facebook.
I know.
I checked it.
I'm so happy for you. We've got Jack Goodsell here. Jack's a fun guy. I could hang out with Jack a lot. I've never met him, just talked to him on the phone, but we have Turnagain Armpit Barbecue. Anybody ever question your choice of names, any of your customers?
You know, most people just laugh like hell. Some people come there just to see what it is because of the name. You know, people who come in don't really object to it too much. I've had some people on Facebook say that they would never go to a place that's called a pit or a joint, or it's like, well, you're missing out then.
Well, they're just dumbasses, that's all.
Yeah, I think most of the folks that come in here get a chuckle, and yeah, we move on from that.
I bet the smell sells them.
Well, you can smell our pits from miles away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, I'm serious, because you could, when I fire up my stuff, the people in the neighborhood, you can actually see them come out their back doors and kind of, then they look over at me and they wave, and no, I'm not giving out samples today. Thank you very much. Go away. But, you know, good barbecue. What kind of smoker do you use?
I use all old hickories. I have five or six. I think I have five old hickory pits of all different sizes.
Okay. And do you use stick wood, or what are you using for?
I'm using alder, okay. Local wood. Yeah, we use stick.
That's good. You don't dry them in your ovens, do you?
It's amazing how quickly they dry. It's just, I have a fellow who delivers it for me, and he actually comes, brings it up from Homer. But he'll bring up a green load, and it is dry like in weeks.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Well, the reason I asked, we had a gentleman on the show last year that he waited it till his wife went to bed every night, and he would take his alder and maple and put them in the oven at home, her oven, kitchen oven, and dry them, put them on 150 degrees and dry them overnight and before he went to a competition.
Nice.
And he would do that, and I guess finally Mama said no mas. Because she would wake up in the morning to this very dry, woody smell in her house, and he told me off the air how she explained things to him, but that he wasn't going to do that anymore, but he was still laughing like crazy about it. So I guess if you can get away with it, you can do it. So what is your favorite thing to barbecue, Jack, to barbecue?
I have no favorite. I love it all. I really do.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I find a challenge in bringing each product to the perfect place. I love eating it all, too.
So if I came to your house, not the restaurant, but if I came to your house, what would you serve me?
Well, if it was last night, it would have been tri-tip.
Attaboy. I love tri-tip.
I have a smoker at home, too, obviously, that... So, and that's where I toy with a lot of things. So my wife gets to be the guinea pig there.
There you go. Do you have to have your beef and pork and stuff shipped in?
What's really funny is I buy a lot of it from one of the large stores.
Uh-huh.
But right now I'm looking at having it shipped in from Chicago. I can get better specs on the ribs in particular, that they're much tighter than the big store can get me.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. It seems to me that a lot of stuff in Alaska, or at least it was when I was up there a long time ago, had to be kind of shipped in. And
everything is shipped in. I mean, you know, there's I buy whole hogs that are local grown. But everything else is shipped in.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. But the fish, you don't have to ship that stuff in.
No, fortunately. But, you know, you can only get that fresh for the summertime, then they stop running.
Yeah. What's the biggest fish you've ever smoked?
I smoked a 45-pound king salmon.
There you go.
Yeah.
How long did that take you?
The better part of a day. Probably
18 beers. 18 beers? I like that.
Something like that.
All right, well, let's do a little lightning round with Jack, shall we? Want to? Okay. Jack Goodsell from the Armpit. This is your lightning round. What's the hardest part of the job for you?
Paperwork.
Paperwork, yeah. What's the worst seafood you've ever eaten?
bad seafood.
You never ate seafood in Arkansas? No, probably not. How long did it take you to learn what the customer wants?
That's a good question. I guess I look at it a different way in that I prepare what I think is good and hope that they like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, service is the biggest thing, and we have changed some of that. We went from fast casual, which most barbecue places are, to full service.
Oh, there you go. There you go. You have uniforms?
You know, logo shirts, that's it.
Okay. Fill in the blank here. Liquid smoke should be used for?
Enemies.
There you go. What is the best day of activities contained for Jack? Outside of the restaurant.
Outside of the restaurant?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm on my boat in Prince William Sound.
Well, there you go. What's the dumbest thing you've ever seen done with a grill? The dumbest thing you've ever seen done with a grill or a barbecue?
Oh, my goodness, I can't even imagine.
Well, we've heard some pretty good ones over the years.
Yeah, I can't come up with anything on that one.
Okay. What was the first thing you remember ever barbecuing or smoking?
On the grill, a steak.
Okay. Do you have a favorite barbecue book?
Boy, there's a lot of those.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, you know, and I kind of go recent, so praise the Lord, because that was a kind of a sequel to the first book that my mentor put out.
Yeah. You kind of got to stay in the family there, Jack.
Yeah. But there's some great ones, you know, Bob Gibson book and, yeah.
Where's the worst place you ever had to cook?
The worst place I've ever had.
Had to cook.
There's still an active gold mine down in Girdwood, Alaska, and that's about 40 miles south of Anchorage. And I did a wedding down there, and it was in September, so, you know, our daylight is gone, and this building had no electricity. So it was all done on grills with oil lanterns and candlelight. It was a little bit chilly, too.
I bet it was. Okay, last couple of questions, and we got to take a break. First, let's do the. What's your favorite color?
Green.
Okay, Elton John or Ed Ames?
I'd probably have to go with Elton John.
That a boy. Star Trek or Jason Bourne movies?
Jason Bourne.
There you go. And finally, for someone new to barbecue or grilling, what would you recommend for them to start with, as far as, you know, picking something for them actually to grill and to practice with?
You mean as a product or?
Yeah. Protein, whatever.
I would probably, I think a pork butt's probably the most forgiving.
Yeah, I'd say if they're completely brand new to it, just get a hamburger patty, you know, something small. And then if you ruin it, it's not too bad. But when you're getting into it, I can see a pork butt being easy to do because it's kind of hard to really dork it around.
It can be done.
Oh, yeah, it can be done. But, I mean, you know, if you got,
I probably would do that.
Half a wit about you.
I'd probably mess it up.
Probably. Anyway, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be back on Barbecue Nation with Jack Goodsell from Alaska, right there at the Bend in the Armpit. And we'll be back. I love that.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network, coming to you live today from beautiful downtown Portland. At least that's where we broadcast from. So wherever you're listening to it throughout the entire network.
To your radio.
To your radio, and you're tuned in. And we've got Jack Goodsell here from the Armpit. The turn again armpit. I got to say it right.
Yes.
I'm sorry. That's, anyway, David's over here just laughing.
The visual I got from
that. The visual.
It was meant to be fun. honey. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's all good. I like that. So how far are you out of Anchorage?
Well, I have one restaurant that's in Midtown Anchorage, and the one down on Turnigan Arm is probably 17 miles east of Anchorage.
Okay. Because I want our people to know that are listening, if they happen to be going to Alaska in the Anchorage area, where they can come find you and enjoy your stuff.
Yeah, well, if you can have a Kenai to some of the best fishing in the world, you have to drive past our place twice.
Well, there you go. There you go. But it wasn't there 25, 30 years ago when I came up there. It wasn't.
No, it's only been down there since 2009.
Yeah, well, mine was in 83 or 84 or something when I was there. So it was a good thought process, I guess. Anyway, what do you think is the most important thing you've learned so far in the restaurant business?
Focusing not only on our product but our customer, because without them, we're not here. And so I try to emphasize with the staff to make sure that they let the customer know without having to say it that they're the most important thing, and we want them to come back. So it's probably customer service.
Okay. So one last kind of semi-lightning round type question. Give us a quick story on, because we've only got a couple minutes left, on the biggest pain in the ass customer you ever had.
Well, that was my first summer down there. And it was a redheaded woman, and she would either come with her husband or her son. And no matter what she ordered, she complained about it. I mean, unbelievable complaints. And she would keep coming back like 7 or 8 times in the course of 2 months. And the poor family, both father and son, on the way out the door, of course, she went first, there to be turning and quietly apologizing. But she would, I mean, you know, when we could see her coming in, we knew it was going to happen. She complained every time about everything, but kept on coming.
They should have used her for chum in the Kenai.
Exactly.
I mean, good God. Oh, that's...
It was actually, you know, after the first couple of times, it was entertaining.
I'll tell you a quick story. My mother lives in a retirement home. My mother is 94 years old, still pretty sharp for most things. And the first time I did it, it was funny. The last several times I've done it, it is not so funny, but you go eat dinner with her and her friends. And they run that poor wait staff ragged because, you know, their meatloaf isn't done enough, or it's cold, or the potatoes are cold, or the gravy's, you know, turned into gelatin or something. And Jesus, it just goes on forever. And it's like, I won't eat with my own mother anymore because it's.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
That is embarrassing.
Yeah, sometimes it's better to stay home.
Yeah.
Just, and even then it's worse. They run you ragged.
When I do go see her, I make her order up room service when I'm taking care of stuff for her, and they bring it up to the room, and I'll eat there.
Nice.
And then I do that. That's kind of what a good son I am there. Jack, how can people find out more about your restaurants and your history and how to get in touch with you?
You can look us up on Facebook. We're Turnigan Arm Pit. And Google us, you know, all that stuff that somebody else takes care of, because that's part of paperwork I don't do. But yeah, they're pretty good with the social media.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you guys get quite a few page visits and hits, and
yeah, it's been pretty fun to watch.
Well, that's good. Anything you haven't done yet in the restaurant business that you want to do before we go? Okay.
You know, I find something every year, but right now I just want to make what I have maybe a little bit better. There's always little things that you can find.
So, yeah, that is.
I'd like to get a lot better at having the seafood thing for next summer done and mailed.
I thought he was going to mention that.
Yeah.
You said you were working on it.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll get it.
Dial it in.
This is a determined guy.
Yeah.
You know, and anybody who's got the Turnigan Armpit behind him, he's got to be a determined guy. That's good. Jack, we're going to get out of here. I really want to thank you for putting up with us today and being on Barbecue Nation. It's been fun. You've got a very interesting story, and maybe we'll get to see you one of these days.
Well, please come up. You can't miss us, like I said. If you're going to go down to the best fishing, you have to pass us twice.
You got it. Hey, everybody, until next week, I'm JT with Dr. Dave. Remember our motto here, turn it, don't burn it. You can check out more of my stuff on thecowboycook.com or grillingatthegreen.net. And for the good doctor, I will say we will see you next week right here on the Radio Northwest Network.